Hi, and welcome to Conversations, a UCF College of Arts and Humanities podcast, where I interview faculty, artists, students, and community members involved in the UCF College of Arts and Humanities. In this series, I'll be speaking with people involved in the college's annual festival, UCF Celebrates the Arts, held from April 2nd through April 15th at Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. Listen to behind-the-scenes stories from some of the exciting events happening at this year's festival, ranging from music, visual arts, theater, humanities, and more. My name is Madeline Mulford, and I'm a UCF student interning at the College of Arts and Humanities Communications Department. I decided to create this podcast to share the stories behind news, research, and events at the college, and raise awareness for the arts here on campus. My guest for today's episode is Gian Arellano, a senior in the Theater Studies program and artistic director of Project Spotlight, a student-run developmental theater organization here on campus. Gian's play, Race to Infinity, was workshopped last summer as part of Pegasus Playlab and will be performed at UCF Celebrates the Arts on April 11th. Thank you for joining me today, Gian. First of all, congratulations on having your play performed at UCF Celebrates the Arts this year. And as a playwright, I'm sure it will be really exciting to see your characters get brought to life, especially at a venue like the Dr. Phillips Center. So I'm interested to learn a little bit more about Race to Infinity.
Yes. First of all, thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much. I am very excited for this whole process. Race to Infinity follows the life of Sarah Delgado and her social life, her academic life, but mostly her home life. It focuses a lot on the emotional arc that she has as she struggles to exist in this world where her mother treats her brother better than her. So it deals with a lot of gender norms and kind of not so good ideals that are passed down through generations. And as she kind of struggles to find where herself self-worth should come from. Others, herself, the video game she plays, which is called Race to Infinity, which is where the play gets its name.
Cool. What were your inspirations for writing that story? Is it based on any personal experiences?
So Sarah definitely is a vehicle through which I explore some of my own emotions in my home life and in the larger Latino community. And I think because of that, and because I tackled a lot of problems I think currently exist in the Latino community, I think it finds relatability in a lot of other people, because it was only once this play got selected for a workshop and then now for a production that a lot of people have been coming up to me and telling me that it's also very personal to them, which I think is really cool. I think there's definitely a lot of cultural aspects, I think, that exist in the Latino community that I personally don't think need to continue to exist, such as homophobia and really strict gender norms and just like these principles that that life should be harder because that was simply how another person lived their life. I think that's something a lot of, in my personal experience, Latino parents have said, that's just the way it is, when I don't think it has to be. So I definitely use Sarah on this as an angsty, rebellious way to kind of talk about the issues that I see existing in my family, in the Latino community, and in society in general, issues that I think need to be talked about.
That's really interesting. So in the context of today's world, why do you think that it's important that this story is told right now?
I think there's a lot to it. This play is kind of a character study, honestly, on Sarah, because the narrative is a lot less, I would say, physically evident, more emotionally driven, as I said before. So you really do get to see a lot of Sarah's life. And like I said before, the principles that she kind of has to rebel against, such as these strict gender norms, such as homophobia, and these like principles of life that she just doesn't agree with. And I feel like as a society, we've become more progressive in general, I would say. And there's a lot more platforms that people can go on. There's a lot more support that people can get when speaking out against these, like, cultural norms that I think have persisted, rather than maybe, like, be silenced, as people may have been in the past. So I think it's really important that we talk about this generational shift that has happened in the Latino community, and I think people in general, and how we need to speak out against parts of our past that I don't think we necessarily agree with. I think we as a society have become more analytical of how we were raised and how we grew up. I think a lot of people have a fondness for generational trauma right now. You can see that in Turning Red. You can see that in Encanto and Everything Everywhere All at Once.
So I love that movie.
That was such a good movie. Oh, I could talk about that movie. But I think generational trauma is something that people as a society were able to now finally acknowledge rather than simply keep things how they were. And that isn't necessarily me saying that past generations have just done it poorly. Because I think, like I said before, I think we as a society have progressed to a point where we're able to speak out and get support. And I feel like past generations, such as Sarah's parents maybe for this instance, those same ideals were kind of like instilled into them. And they didn't have the foundation to like fight back against them. And that's why they tried to push them onto their children. But now, like I said, I think we're at a point where we can kind of call those things out. And on a separate note, I think this play is relevant because I think theater, for a majority of the time, is generally a white space. And I really wanted a play about Latino characters. And at first, this play is actually kind of like a remake of two older plays I had, and they were never race specific. But then I kind of just thought about how I'm a Latino person who loves to play video games. And I was like, well, I would love to see that on stage. So I was like, why not? And then I found ways to talk about generational problems and ways to talk about bigger issues in the community by making that shift in their race. So I've been told, and I also just appreciate myself, I guess, being able to see people like me on stage.
Yeah, that's really great. I like people who can relate to the characters who are watching it. What do you hope that they'll take away from this play, and how will they bring it back to their lives?
I hope it increases the empathy everyone has for one another. I think especially for like, Sarah's 16 in this play, and you see a lot of her past memory that explains why she does the things she do, and why she thinks the way she thinks. And I think a lot of people are quick to write off younger generations, especially kids, in their beliefs, thinking, oh, they're just kids, like, what do they think? Or, you know, this is, like, how things have always been. And I think exploring exactly how these ideas that past generations hold directly influence the younger generation, I hope will allow people to see kind of the impact that their beliefs hold. And likewise, I also hope people gain empathy for older generations and understand that, like, those beliefs were simply instilled in them as children, and sometimes, and now as an adult, it's kind of hard to fight those beliefs you just hold true to yourself. So I just hope people gain a bigger understanding of one another in this, like, generational battle I feel like we all face with, like, different belief systems.
So I was curious about what your creative process was like when developing these characters, and like you said that there were multiple iterations of the play previously. What was your process for developing this play and then having it workshopped at Pegasus Play Lab?
So I knew I really wanted to focus on some kind of non-romantic relationship, just me personally, going into like the very first iterations. Because a big note my friends had been telling me was, I always write about romance. So I was like, I feel like there's a lot more intimate discussions that can be had between siblings. And I have a sibling, and I know how siblings fight, but then they come back at the end of the day. And I was like, that's so interesting. And I think there's a lot of interesting dynamics that can exist in a family. So I always wanted to focus on a family. And ever since the first iteration, it was about two siblings in a disruptive household. and how they, there was a video game involved each time. I love video games. I'm always inspired by video games. The vibrancy, how animated they are. So both past iterations involved siblings in a disruptive household in a video game to varying extents. And then this final one, just kind of came in time. I just found, I just really wanted to see each character as a human and just see like what intricacies I could find in one another. And see where I could go from there. And then getting workshopped was just a wonderful experience because you get, for Pegasus Playlab, you get put in a room for 2 weeks with your director, with your, you have separate meetings with your designers, but with your actors as well in those 2 weeks. And you, my wonderful director was Edmari Montez, who is a previous UCF alum. And she let me take the reins a bit, which I really appreciated, and just honestly talk to the cast and see how people felt. And that's when I really got to see how relatable the text was, which made me feel really, great. That sounds like a self-compliment, but it felt validating, I guess I could say, to know that other people also had these kind of familial struggles. But yeah, you would talk with your cast. If they pointed something out, I would make notes of it. You can make changes in the room in Pegasus Playlab, but most of the time I need to like sit down and just focus. So I would go home, maybe like write a new aspect of a scene, a new page or two, send it to my stage managers, and the next day we would just read it and see how it is.
Yeah, that's really interesting. How did you submit the play to be chosen by Pegasus Playlab and maybe other students who might be interested in doing that, how would they go about submitting their work to get workshopped? And like, what are their criteria of getting chosen?
So you typically have to submit your play in the fall semester of the year. I think between the months of September and October. I'm not sure the exact start date, but I know the cutoff date is typically mid-October because there are a lot of submissions that get submitted to Pegasus Playlab because it's not just UCF students, it's not just Florida students. It's kind of a whole, it's kind of, to my knowledge, I think it's nationwide.
Oh, really? Wow.
Because I know we flew in another student from another school for her production the same summer I did mine. But you submit your play in the fall semester, and then you honestly just have to wait for a bit. And I think you hear back in January if you got rejected or if you're in the next tier, because that's when I was told that I was in the top 10. So that entire month, I was just shaking, thinking about when was I going to get that next email. But then in February, I don't know what day it was, but I know it was a Friday at 2:38 p.m. because I remember seeing that email and being so excited that I was selected as one of the stage readings that summer. And it was one of the happiest moments of my career. I don't know the specific criteria. I know there is a criteria. If you want to get involved as Pegasus Playlab as a reader, if you're on the Theater UCF website updates or on the listserv, I believe you can like contact whoever sends that update out. For me, I know it was H. Tokash, wonderful TYA student. And you can read and you go through a lot of plays. I know people have to like read about 10 plays a week or 15, depending on how it goes, because I know this past year we got over 900 submissions. So that's also the reason why you wait to hear back, because there's a lot of plays being read and a lot of things being considered. And I cannot attest to all the criteria they are looking for, but I was just very grateful to get in as a playwright.
Yeah, that must be really exciting and validating. And I was like that, especially that your play was chosen out of over 900 submissions. And so I wanted to learn more about what your history as a writer, especially like a playwriter, was like. Like, how long have you been writing plays? And have you ever had any of your other scripts performed before? And like, maybe also, what are your future career goals?
Yes. So to take it back, I started playwriting in freshman year of high school because I was always a writer. I would love to write. I tried my hand on novels. I remember handwriting novels in like eighth grade, and then being like, I don't like it. But I always liked to write, but I was always into theater as well. And then my theater teacher was like, hey, there's a playwriting workshop. I lived in Miami at the time, Miami, Florida. And there was a playwriting workshop as part of City Theater's Next Gen program. And I will be forever grateful to City Theater for this program because they put me with a playwriting mentor and a group of other students who were all just interested in trying this thing out. And I just fell in love with the craft. I love theater. And I love writing it. I think this idea of a limitation of a stage doesn't really exist because I think given that limitation, I love to push the boundaries of what can I show on stage? Like what can I do? Because I love realism, but I also love sprinkling in sci-fi or fantasy or supernatural or interesting staging moments to just kind of test what I can do, which hopefully excites people on how they can possibly direct a piece or act it. But I've been writing since freshman year, so it's been about 7 years now. And I have had other plays performed, some in high school through like readings through City Theater, or my high school had one or two events where you would produce things. But it was never fully, I would say, produced with like lighting and sound and set until I got into Project Spotlight in college, which I actually joined, I want to say spring of 2021, I believe, because it was during the pandemic and everything was still on Zoom at the time. But I was doing 24-hour playfests at UCF, but I was also doing, I just got into Project Spotlight and then I loved the experience, so I kept doing it. And yeah, I got to meet a great amount of people and have really great experiences. I'm now the artistic director. Going forward, I truthfully don't know. And that's kind of scary, but it's also kind of exciting whether I want to stay in the Orlando area and see if I can network and like talk to more in the theater community, whether I would want to move. My friend wants me to move to New York, which I know is like every theater kid's dream, you want to say. But also I might get my MFA in playwriting in a school, not in Florida, because no school in Florida has that. So I would have to also leave the state. So I'm considering my options. I'm very open to a lot of them. And I'm just trying to see where life takes me.
I wanted to ask, like, since you're a theater studies major at UCF, right? Mm-hmm. You're a senior. Do you think that's helped prepare you at all for the plays that you've produced, and like how has that like helped your transformation from, you know, writing plays in high school to now having your plays performed? Do you feel like it's helped your career and like provided you those resources?
For sure. I think it really opened my eyes to a lot of the other worlds that exist in theater other than playwriting, because I feel like I used to have very specific images of what I wanted in my plays. And I would put the parentheticals of how characters say things, or I would say, this character does this all the time, or enter stage left. And now I'm realizing that I love allowing people to play in their roles. Like, I don't want to try and, like, force directors to specifically do the actions I do, as long as the same objective is achieved. And either way, I'm sure a director would probably ignore my specific stage directions. And actors, you know, I started ditching character descriptions. I started ditching parentheticals because I really liked just seeing how an actor took the words and the words themselves and see what they could do with it, how they wanted to say it and how they could play with it. So I think, being a theater studies student and seeing other people's work and being in some of these classes, has really opened my eyes to the other sides of theater and, what exactly can be done with like lights and sound and how, like, seeing what we can do in theater excites me for what I can write in the future, because it's like, okay, I feel like this would be fun for someone to try and stage. I try to write for myself, but also thinking for people, will this be a fun play to put on? So that has really helped me in my playwriting. Yeah, and there's been other classes that have assisted, such as script analysis, and I love you know, analyzing my own work to try and make sure, like, everything is tied together. But no, I think my education here has definitely helped open my eyes and just be very open to suggestion, be very open to other ideas, and be more collaborative.
Is there anything else that you want to discuss about Race to Infinity that you think is important for people to know before we wrap up today?
It's a blast of a show. I love every second of it. I hope everyone else does too. And I hope they like video games. I hope people incorporate more of this realism in the future with, like, these sci-fi and supernatural elements, which is just the kind of theater that I love to see. Because I think real life is full of moments where I think that can only be described through sci-fi or fantasy. So, I don't know. I feel like I really found my voice to this play. This play meant a lot to me, and I wrote it at a time where I was kind of in a slump. So I hope it can also do the same for other people.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I like how you talk about, like, kind of magical realism in that sense of using like sci-fi and fantasy to enhance, like, elements of our everyday lives, and, like, so we can better interpret and process them.
For sure.
Yeah, especially with, like, video games as, like, a plot device. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. There's one thing about me. I might have a video game in my play.
We'll definitely be looking out for that in your future plays. So, stay tuned for whatever you come up with next. Yeah. So, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. And
of course.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see Race to Infinity April 11th at Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts.
Yes, I'm very excited. And we are also having a Theater UCF main stage run that weekend for people who can't come out on a Tuesday evening.
Oh, that's great. I didn't even know about that. So students who can't make it to the Dr. Phillips Center can see the play at UCF.
Yes, April 14th, 15th, and 16th, there will be, I believe, 4 productions at the Theater UCF main stage. For those who couldn't have seen it on Tuesday.
Awesome, great, thank you.
Yes, but definitely check it out, the Dr. Phillips, because the venue is beautiful, and it'll be a magical night. But come out and see it however you can.
Lovely, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for tuning in to this episode of Conversations, a UCF College of Arts and Humanities podcast. Today, I interviewed Gian Arellano, a UCF Theater Studies undergraduate and artistic director of Project Spotlight, a student-run developmental theater organization here on campus. A play written by Gian called Race to Infinity will be performed on Tuesday, April 11th, 7 p.m., at Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. Learn more and buy tickets at arts.ucf.edu/celebrates.